I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. My name is Mel.
I'm Helen.
And I'm Janet.
Today we're going to be talking about boobs. Breast, tits, hoo-haws, boobies, whatever you want to call them, they are a noteworthy part of the human body and have a particular symbolic meaning.
Different people conjure up different associations and ideals when it comes to this topic. Today, we want to discuss it from the perspective of three cisgendered Asian American women. We're going to talk about our personal experiences, what our boobs mean to us, recalling our relationship with them through those awkward teenage years, reflecting on social perceptions. For example, the idea that Asian women have particularly small boobs, bra and personality associations, and more.
Let's start with some quick history. Where does the word boob come from? Well, according to an article on Bustle, boobs in reference to breasts first emerged in the 1930s. It's a shortened version of the slang term boobie, which was popular in the 17th century. From there, the history of the word can be traced back even further through Germanic languages and Latin until we reach the origin word pupa, puppa. The term puppa means little girl, which, I don't know, could be kind of disturbing, but I guess that's also one nickname you could give your boobs, your little girls or your girls.
Interesting.
Yeah, right? I had no idea kind of like where that slang word came from.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take it all the way back, ladies, to kind of think about where each of us learned about the concept of boobs and understanding kind of their social significance. Do you remember when was the first time you like, I guess, saw a boob or like understood what boobs were?
I don't have a distinct memory, but as a kid, I do remember changing with my mom in the room.
Mm.
And when there was no societal definition of what it meant, it felt really normal just to be changing and being naked in front of your mom or grandparents. And my mom and grandma are very, like, they didn't give a F. Like, they would just change in front of me. Mm. They didn't hide their boobs. So I always felt like, okay, like, they have this stuff
it's like
on their body.
Yeah.
Mm. So I guess the first time I saw a boob was when I was a child, just changing with my mom and my grandma.
Hmm. Mm.
I think the first time I really saw a boob, like someone else's boob, actually, it wasn't my mom's. I know a lot of girls say that their mom would walk around the house naked when they were younger, but my mom didn't do that, at least not to my recollection. I know when I was a baby, my mom's boob was like all up in my face because I was breastfed, but I don't remember any of that. I think the first time I saw a stranger's boob, a stranger's boob, it's probably those channels that you kind of accidentally scrolled by at night.
Accidentally.
Oh. The ones that sort of like tempt you to pay to watch the entire basically porn show. I'm pretty sure those were the first times I saw someone else's boobs other than my own and obviously the memory of my mom's. And yeah, they had like nipples and everything.
They showed that on TV?
I'm pretty sure they did. I'm pretty sure it was like boob that was on there.
Interesting. So your first peek into the anatomy of the boob was like through media then?
Pretty sure it was. Yeah. Because my mom didn't walk around with her boobies hanging out.
Mm-hmm. I think my experience is maybe more similar to Mel. Like growing up, my mom, I think also because I had a little sister pretty close in age. So like when we would have bath time, we would bathe together. And then even for many years when I was much younger, like sleeping, we would like my mom kind of like slept with us. I don't know if that's like pretty common in like maybe that generation of Chinese people. But like, yeah, my first experience is kind of just seeing around my parents. She didn't walk around the home naked, but it was more like practical kind of things.
Yeah.
But then to your point of like, you saw your sister's boob.
Yeah.
When I saw Annie's boob, which I'm sure I did, I was like, that's not a boob. It's just,
yeah, when you're kids,
it's like a kid's, like, yeah, you're flat. Like, it's, yeah, a mosquito, yeah, bite. It's not a boob, right? Yeah. The first time you see like an adult boob, like, yeah, when was that?
That was my mom, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, seeing, but then as a child, noticing the difference of, like, oh, her body looks different than my body.
Yeah. You
know?
Yeah.
And she didn't, it wasn't out of, like, she wasn't shameful of it, or it just felt very, like, normal.
Yeah.
But then I think it's, like, you, as a child, start to see then, okay, she's not, like, it's like she's naked in the bathroom or she's naked in the bedroom, but it's not, she's not naked around the house. So, like, I had an understanding that, okay, this is, like, a private thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. What about the first time that you realized that the significance of that body part? So, like, Mel, you're saying you might have seen your grandma and your mom walk around, but it seemed normal to them. Mm-hmm. When did you realize, like, oh, boobs, like, have a certain meaning, maybe to men or socially?
Mm. I'm trying to, this is really hard for me to, like, to turn back time and remember these distinct memories, but I will have to say that, so, you know, as a child, like, I would go over to hang out with my mom's family friend or my mom's friends, and she would have two sons, and we were so young back then, we're like 3 to 5, and we used to take baths together because, like, little kids, you just, like, bring your as parents, you just put your kids together in the bathtub, and it's like, oh, it's so much fun, you have friends to play with in the bathtub. But I got at a certain age where I was like, it started, like, we stopped doing that. And I also remember, like, knowing to cover my top half. And I think this is around 5 to 7, but we would just stop taking baths together. And obviously when you're naked with a little boy, you're like, oh, that looks different than mine.
Mm.
And, you know, their pee-pees and stuff just look different. So I think when I got around 5 to 7, I noticed there's, like, probably, oh, something's different here. And I didn't really, I couldn't comprehend it because I was so young.
Mm.
I think the moment I realized, like, oh, there's some kind of, like, significance or social significance with boobs is when I started watching more teenage shows. You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember, like, what, 90210, like, even, like, Boy Meets World, like,
Baywatch.
Baywatch. You just see how they kind of, like, even the way they film women, you're like, oh, there's something different about this. And I was like, oh, it emphasized, like, even the coming of age television show talking about, like, puberty, you know, and the girls wore tighter clothes and, like, guys talk about it in those shows back then. So you're like, oh, something, there has to be something there.
Mm.
And I guess the last moment, probably when I realized there's, like, definitely a anatomical significance is when in third grade, my mom took me to get my first training bra. And back then, you're not thinking, you're not like, oh, we're just buying a t-shirt. You're like, she's like, I think it's time to get a training bra. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't make any sense to me. I'm just like, okay, I guess I have to wear this thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about you guys?
I think for me, I know in eighth grade was when I definitely started to realize the significance of, like, my body and how maybe I wanted it to be viewed, because I have this one photo where I'm in this short sleeve body forming red top and I'm chilling with my friend in our math class posing for this photo, and my body's kind of, like, angled to the side, so you get a good view of my boobs. And in this photo, my boobs look ridiculously and disproportionately large compared to the rest of my body. I could have probably filled that bra up with, like, a pair of socks, not just, like, one sock, but, like, a pair of socks. And I know for sure my boob was not that big. But I think they were a result of little Helen in eighth grade being very self-conscious of her mosquito bite size boobs. Also, I know, Mel, you love this story, but when I started playing sports, which was also in eighth grade, is when I started to play volleyball, and I had to wear sports bras for the first time ever. And I couldn't afford, like, the super nice ones that had built-in cups.
Mm.
So the ones that I got were either hand-me-downs or ones that were cupless. And I remember when I got them, I didn't realize how much I nipped.
Hmm. Yes, I have those memories.
Right? So, yeah. Like, your nipples get hard and they kind of, like, poke through.
Yeah, when there's no, like, padding.
Or yes.
Anything. Yeah.
Because in Boston, also, it gets cold. It gets cold. So, like, hello. Like,
yeah.
Hello.
Rip through the shirt, right? Yeah. Like, hello. But I would actually sew in cups into my sports bras. And I remember how self-conscious I was of people finding out. Like, I'd make sure the sewing thread matched the bra as much as possible so that if I took off my shirt, no one could see, like, stitching around my boob, which is really the stitching for the cup that I would sew in. But I was very self-conscious about that throughout my high school years. And I remember Mel found one of my sports bras a few years ago, this pink Nike bra. And it had this, like, nasty, the gel-like cupping. Uh-huh. You know, the gel that actually, like, kind of like your chicken cutlets, right? Mm. Sometimes it's, like, a harder material. Sometimes it's that softer, gooier material. And it, to be honest, it was pretty gross that I kind of sewed that part in, because I thought the material would feel better because it would feel more boob-like, but instead it just made my boobs sweat a lot when I was playing volleyball. But I remember, Mel, when you found that, I was like, oh my god, this is so embarrassing. Like, if a friend from high school had found that when I was in high school, I would be so embarrassed.
You know what's funny about this story? I actually don't think it's gross she sewed these chicken cutlets into her bra in high school. The thing that I find gross is that she still has it at the age of 33. And literally, it's because the way I found it is we were helping her move out of her apartment in Santa Monica. And I was like, oh, okay, here's your bra. I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah, yeah.
What is this? Is it a riddle?
It's pretty gross when you find it. Actually, I don't wear it anymore. It's just, I'm the type of person that, like, when something is not broken, don't throw it away. Yeah, so that was one where I think it's probably, like, in the far end of my, like, bra drawer.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I would probably still wear that bra because it's still good, but I'd probably take out the chicken cutlet now.
I think it's funny how you did the chicken cutlet sewing your cups, because I think, Janet, I think we both resonate with, like, getting nippy with the bras that don't have cups. Like, what I used to do instead, because I didn't have boobs and I still kind of don't, is I would take tissue paper and fold it and just cover my nipples. And there were so many times that it would fall out of my
Charge bra. Wait, doesn't that, but then can't you see the shape of the tissue? Because it's so thin, right? But then that's why you nip. Or you can see the nip.
I think that helped me, though.
Mm.
Or maybe I just walked around with, like, square-shaped nipples.
I still don't really understand. Like, nowadays, I always get at least light cupping or light padding on my sports bras. Because if it's just a piece of cloth, it's like, that's like wearing a tank top underneath the tank top.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel you.
I think I had a realization around the same time that you did, which is like around middle school. Versus, I was going to say, my third grade for training bras, really young, Because mine was maybe like fifth grade.
I don't know. You know, it's funny. I forgot to mention my story, but like, the only reason why I remember third grade is because when my mom bought me the bra, I felt cool, actually. And then I had a crush on a boy. And on the playground, I literally said to him, I was like, do you see this? It's my bra. Like, I like snapped it to show him. I was like, who the fuck am I? Like, I knew that was a sign of something, like a mature girl.
Because
at a young age, I watched a lot of like older shows, not understanding what it was, but just kind of taking what I did from it. So maybe
interesting. I think between Mel's story and then Helen's like story of the photo and, you know, trying to kind of like build it up, I had the opposite. I was actually really shy about boobs and I felt like really uncomfortable when they started developing.
Oh really?
I don't know if it also because like I grew up dancing in ballet, and you don't a lot of the leotards, there's no padding at all.
Yeah.
So it's like when you were developing and in puberty, your boob, like, it's just nipping all the time.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember having the opposite, which is like never wanting to buy a bigger bra, always like preferring like sports bras and wanting to like cover up and wearing like baggier shirts. I don't know why. I was just like a lot more, probably like self-conscious.
Yeah. Actually, do leotards have cupping in them?
They don't. I think when you get old, like for like adult leotards, they sometimes will have. But even now, like, you know how sometimes when you buy bathing suits, sometimes they're not kind of like sports bras?
Yeah.
For the most part, they are like that. Sometimes they will. But for the younger, for up until the age of like 10 or 12, like the leotards are literally just like a flat.
Yeah. I'm still, I mean, hey, free the boob, right? Like if you want less cupping, go for it.
Yeah.
That was always like a conundrum to me of like why people would want just like a piece of cloth to cover if it doesn't provide the support that it's supposed to provide. So I always thought it was just me that, you know, because like you ladies bought me this like sports bra for my birthday, which I love because it's so cute, but there's no cupping in it.
Oh. So I didn't know that the one we got.
Yeah. So then when I put it on, I was like, oh, wait, hello. Knee pose. But then I have these like extra cups that I can also just put into insert it. There's no place to like a sleeve to insert it in, but I could still kind of just let it hang there. And if it's tight enough, it won't come out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. I'm curious, our listeners out there, if this is something that you also have dealt with in the past or if it's just us, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a lot of sports bras out there that are just cupless.
And just like a thin piece of fabric, right?
Yeah.
I guess I'm curious, Jen, like, why did you feel awkward? Like, do you remember why? Like, did someone say something to you? Or
I'm trying to recall. I don't think there was any particular experience. I think I was just kind of a rather like shy kid. And so any type of thing that would draw attention would feel uncomfortable, right? And I did also watch TV and I understood like the boob stuff, but perhaps part of it was like seeing it like displayed in entertainment as such a, like a sexy thing. And I didn't want to draw attention. So it's like anything that felt like it was doing that, I was like really nervous about.
I think it's funny because like, I think I was the opposite of that, like in a sense, like I mean maybe in some essence I wanted the attention, so that's why I actually looked at these girls on television like, oh, I want to be more like them.
And
I was like that's why I was like, look at my bra, like
But your training bra.
Girl, I don't know. Literally I snapped it like this.
Oh my god, that's such, I could see little Mel on the playground being like, hey Peter.
The funny thing is we're still friends today. Hey Eugene, what's up?
Wait, did you ever wear like cup sizes that were too big for you?
Oh, for sure. I did not know how to do that.
Where did you find those? Or did your aunt or your mom buy those for you too?
Those are the ones I went like by myself or with my girlfriends to buy. And I didn't know, like, they're like literally feel like pillows.
Yeah.
I think it's back then I was like oh, this is, push-up you want, like, wow. Literally, push-up bras is a huge thing.
But it's such the opposite experience. I always like looked for the flattest, but that still would cover the nip.
Really?
Actually, Janet, what was your first bra?
My first bra, similar to Mel, was a training bra. And I remember that one was like really anticlimactic because those, you don't have to get fitted for those, right? Those are like, you go into like Macy's and it's like hanging on the racks. So my mom just, I think when she started seeing like, you know, on your t-shirts, you're nipping a little, she just got me a little training bra. And I remember feeling like, oh, this is like a thing that like, it's such a nuisance that I have to wear this extra thing, right? But then I do remember when I first got my like real bra, like the one with like straps and a cup, and having to speak like I think it probably was at like a Macy's or something, and this like, it was like this older white woman that came in and was like trying to fit me, and I remember feeling really awkward because I'm like naked in front of the stranger and she's like measuring and explaining, oh, this is the cup size and this is how you measure around your body and this is what the numbers mean. But I also went with a very like nude skin colored, just thick enough so that it doesn't show nip, but not thick to like add any volume. I don't know. How about you ladies? Do you remember what your first bra
My first bra wasn't the typical first training bra that little girls get, which it sounds like you did. You had that experience with your moms, which is nice. Now that I think about it, it's like really sad. I think my first bra was a bra from China. And I'm pretty sure my mom didn't officially give me one. I think I just started wearing one of Annie's.
Oh, that makes sense.
And the ones from China, like, if you know, you know, they are not the right cup size. They are padded. They are lacy usually. And they are hard. They were like so hard to the touch. Yeah. I remember like,
oh, they provide that really like stiff support.
Yeah. No, exactly. So I remember watching like these Hong Kong shows with my family when we were younger. And there's always like a scene of women like digging out of like the bargain pile of like cheap bras. I'm like, I'm pretty sure one of those was my first bra. And I don't think I ever had that experience where my mom was like, this is a bra and this is like a size. And I just had to figure it out on my own. And I think once she started to see that I was already wearing one of Annie's really big bras, she was probably like, okay, like she understands that experience of what a bra is. But yeah, I think no one really helped me to pick out my first bra. Pretty sure it was just, I stole it from Annie.
Aww.
She probably got mad at me. And I probably kept wearing it. I don't know.
That's cute, though.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I'm like, oh, I definitely want this experience for my kid. I want to take her to get her first training bra, even if it's just like a sports bra, like crop top looking like thing.
Yeah. Target has really good ones.
Yeah.
I think I went to Target.
Oh, really?
Or Walmart. One of those, like, you know, like, oh, it's, you know, not a fancy one at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it wasn't until like late high school, that I finally went to a Victoria's Secret and got properly measured. And I was super uncomfortable doing that because I went by myself to do it. And they were really professional. And I think I kept my first bra, or maybe I was wearing a sports bra on top and they just measured around it, which is fine. But I don't think I got properly measured until late high school.
I remember going to the initial Macy's or whatever for that measurement, but then after that, all the other bras, I think my mom just bought them for me, and I don't know that there was ever, because I do remember things like not fitting correctly or being a little uncomfortable sometimes, and then I went later by myself, probably like later in my 20s to Victoria's Secret, and then really learned like the kind of, that kind of stuff. So yeah, I don't know. I think it might be a pretty common experience for women to not have a proper like understanding of how to measure the fit.
To be honest, I don't think I had ever had one yet.
We gotta take Mel to a formal
It's like, do you know what your cup size is?
I do,
just based on
like kind of like trial and error
for me. Yeah.
But yeah, my first bra was the training bra my mom picked out at Target. My first real bra though was like probably in early high school. I used to go shopping with my aunt and we were super close. And it was Calvin Klein.
I got some freaking Chinese bootleg bra over here. Bargain bra.
That's the only fancy bra I ever owned. And because I think she also knew like this is a good brand. I was like, okay, we didn't like formally try it on. I was like, oh yeah, that works. I think I felt so awkward that I wore, it was a black Calvin Klein bra, but it was definitely way too big. Or it just didn't fit properly because when I bent over, there was so much space on the top half of the cup.
Yeah.
I was like, I could just fit like a pillow in here or something, right?
You could put food in there.
Say food.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wore that for a while and I didn't know how to change or wear the proper size. And I didn't ask the specialist because I felt really embarrassed. Like, I still feel, even now, a little like, oh, like, not a little better. You know, obviously you see a doctor to get your physical, but it's just a little awkward for me to be like, here's my boobs. I don't know. I just feel a little bit more, I guess, shy about that. Mm-hmm. And I also like thought maybe I just blocked that memory out of my mind because maybe I did have a specialist help me, but I just don't remember whatsoever. But I could also relate with you in terms of like Asian bras. Like, my mom also never really bought me a fancy bra. So I had to, like, my aunt bought me the Calvin Klein bra. But after that experience, I don't remember buying bras. She'd bring bras back for me from Taiwan or give me, like, oh, here's a friend of a friend's bra. I'm like, ew, that's gross. Ew. Yeah. I don't know. I have a couple of bras from back home. I'm just like, where does this come from? I don't remember. Yeah. But the problem with the Asian bras, not only are they really hard, but they don't fit. The shape is, like, very closed up. They want you to have the cleavage. So they, like,
they push together
a lot. And I'm just like, this is weird. Like, in some ways, I don't have two boobs. I have one gigantic one.
You have a uniboob.
I do. So I'm like, oh, it's really interesting how different countries, like, you know. Mm. So for our listeners out there who are from, like, not from the U.S., are your bras, the design or, like, the style different? Mm. Because that's something I noticed, you know, Helen and I noticed with the Asian bras.
Yeah. Well, I think you probably got, like, the more modernized, like, 2010 bras. I think I got, like, the 2000s, 19, like, 90s bras, which were just, like, there's no shape or there's, it's just, you know, just big, hard, and there's, like, lace and flowery things on it. And it's just like, yeah.
That's pretty though.
Yeah, no one was looking at it, but yeah.
Hi, ABGs and ABBs. It's Janet here. I know I've been talking a lot about quarantine in our ads, but it's a reality. With increased precautions and staying at home more, I haven't had my haircut in a long time. So it's grown out to be the longest I've had it in a while, which means there is a lot of it to take care of. I'm generally very minimal with my toiletry products, and Function of Beauty is a line that I have been using and really appreciate. You take a hair quiz to let them know your hair type and hair goals, like lengthen, volumize, oil control, etc. And then you choose a color and fragrance, and they determine the perfect blend of ingredients for your formula. I like that they are vegan and cruelty-free and that you can choose dye-free and fragrance-free formulas. I also really appreciate that they deliver the products to your door, so it's one less thing for me to have to go to the store for. Never buy off the shelf just to be disappointed ever again. Go to functionofbeauty.com/ABG to take your quiz and save 20% on your first order. That applies to their full range of customized hair, skin, and body products. Go to functionofbeauty.com/ABG to let them know we sent you and get 20% off your order. functionofbeauty.com/ABG.
Hi everyone. If you've been listening to us for a while now, you know that Skillshare is a longtime sponsor of Asian Boss Girl. Here at ABG, we love seeing your DMs and emails about tapping into your creative brains and challenging yourselves by taking classes through Skillshare. For those of you who don't know, Skillshare is an online learning community where so many people, millions, have come together to take the next step in their creative journey. They offer thousands of classes on topics including illustration, design, photography, video, freelancing, and so much more. As content creators ourselves, we've noticed that on YouTube, Instagram, and the internet at large, the only thing that truly matters is your voice. How you develop, use, and share your creative ideas with others can be the difference between a robust, engaged community and feeling like you're shouting into the void. One of the classes I've enjoyed is taught by Nathaniel Drew called Creativity Unleashed, Discover, Hone, and Share Your Voice Online, which helps you to determine your individual values as a creator and how to overcome your insecurities. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/ABG and get a free 2-week trial of premium membership. Again, that's skillshare.com/ABG to get 2 weeks of free premium membership. skillshare.com/ABG.
Hi everyone, it's Mel here, and I want to remind you that we have a live weekly show on the Stereo app. Thank you so much for the people who have been tuning in to our weekly episodes. We love listening to the live messages from you and hearing your comments on the different topics. Last week, Helen and I were able to chat through our 30th birthdays, from Helen's Cabo trip to my recent escape. We also got asked a really great question by a listener from New York and shared what we hope to leave behind in our 20s. So if you're interested in tuning in, check out the notes in the description of this podcast episode or check out our link tree on our Instagram bio. We have this week's scheduled show link out and ready to go. And yes, Stereo is free for those of you who haven't downloaded it yet. We've been really looking for ways to connect with you all more and are very excited to try this out. Through Stereo, you'll be able to join us for real conversations in real time. And this app allows podcast creators like us to build an even more intimate relationship with y'all listeners by engaging with y'all in direct conversations. Again, check out the link in the description of this episode's show notes or the link in our Instagram bio. We can't wait to see you every week on the Stereo app.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most. And they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Speaking of, like, you know, changing and feeling awkward of, like, you know, dealing with the specialist, do you remember changing in front of other girls in middle school or high school, and what was that like?
Oh, yeah. So I think middle school is when I had the memory of things starting to feel awkward, right? Your body's changing. And it was also the first time in school we had to change in public because we had PE. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're in the girls' locker room and everyone has to change from their school clothes into their PE outfits. And I remember all of my friends, like, we came up with different, like, tactics and strategies to be able to, like, change are to change our clothes without showing our bodies. I don't know if you guys did this, but it's like there are ways that you can, like, you know, take one sleeve off and then put the other sleeve on, or do the top first and then the shorts, so you can, like, strategically cover different parts of your body so you're never, like, truly naked.
I am a pro at changing in public.
Changing in public like that. And I think I remember that being really, really awkward. But the thing is also, like, because I grew up dancing in, like, backstage during recitals from a very young age, like, you don't have time and they just, like, strip you down, right? Mm-hmm. But I learned from those, like, settings where, because it was all, like, mostly women and women did not react, like, I had this, like, idea in my body in certain settings that it's just, like, it's okay and it's comfortable and it's, like, a tool. Like, no one, it's your instrument, right?
And then
I'm, like, in school and it suddenly all the girls around me are, like, super shy. So I feel like I kind of just, like, adapted to, I'm like, if they're shy, then they must not want to see my body, so I should do the same.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
How about you, ladies?
I think very similar to your experience too, Jay. So I did play a lot of sports in high school. So I was always in the locker room. And I actually do remember when I first walked into the locker room to change. And obviously you share a locker room with multiple other girls, sports teams, and everyone has been doing this for a long period of time, changing, you know, and they were just stripping down in the open. I remember when I first walked there in there, I saw a butt and I was like, whoa, okay, like, this is happening. You know, you see these in movies and TV shows, but you don't, for me to have experienced the first time, I was just like, oh, this is real life.
Yeah.
Okay. And I remember I would always try to find, like, a corner locker so that I could open up, like, multiple doors and sort of, like, hide myself while I was changing. But I definitely remember being self-conscious, especially I remember when I was on the track team and didn't really have any friends there. And I was like, this is really weird. Because one, I'm a loner, and two, I'm naked. Like, it's weird when you're like, it's nice when you have a team that you're super close and good friends with, like my volleyball team. I remember my locker then was, like, smack in the middle, like, all my girls were around me and we would just be, like, changing, obviously very discreetly, like, we were able to find a way to change without showing our body parts, but we'd be, like, laughing and joking and changing, and that felt fine. But when I was on the track team, it was, like, weird because, like, everyone else is, like, having fun and then here you are, like, just trying to discreetly take off your shirt and put on your little pants and stuff. But similar to you, Jay, I think I got to a place where we could literally just change anywhere. We would change on, like, the school bus, in a locker room, like, outdoors, and no boobs popped out.
Dang.
Yeah.
It's a skill.
Wow.
It's a skill to develop.
I think I remember in middle school was, like, my first time changing in front of everyone, like, for PE, right? But the thing I noticed, though, was, like, thinking back, it was odd because back in middle school for PE, people, the girls wore their regular bras and not sports bras to change. Mm. Like, I never packed a sports bra with my PE clothes. So I was like, here's my shirt and my shorts. Mm-hmm. So I was like, dang. And, like, so here are these girls wearing some fancy lacy bras in middle school PE. And I remember that was the first time I was like, wow, that's a really cool bra, or that's a Victoria's Secret bra. So I think I low-key start comparing myself. I'm like, oh, wow, like, she has a fancy bra. Or, like, oh, that one. And I think middle school is also the time I realized a different size of boobs. Because obviously you're seeing things. And I'm someone that really wasn't – I wasn't, like, neutral. I wasn't afraid to, like, change in front of people. But also wasn't, like, hey, everyone, here's my tits. Mm-hmm. And I think because comparing myself to the other girls in my PE class, I was more flat-chested. I feel like middle school is also the time that, like, I got comments about my boobs. Mm. Like, comments were made towards me. Like, oh, like, I remember in eighth grade, Michael, he was a class comedian, and he'll call my boobs mosquito bites.
What?
I know. And honestly, it didn't, like, bother me completely because I'm like, yeah, it's not, you're not wrong. But I'm like, damn, you're calling out how small my boobs are. Aww. And then my best friend has, like freaking full C's. So changing with her in high school, I was kind of like, dang, like, you're big. And I'm not. So, yeah, that's just something I noticed. Aww,
I think that is a really hard time in middle school, especially when, like, you care so much about kind of how people perceive you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think during that time, too, is when boys are also starting to notice and make comments, and they don't know how to rein in their comments, whether it's because, you know, during that time, not a lot of people were like, you can't say this stuff to girls or whatever. Yeah, that's true. So they were able to just be like, boobs, I'm liking boobs. Oh, you have boobs. Oh, you don't have boobs.
This is super random, but I remember even from high school and middle school, like, because, you know, you're seeing people change, like, people are openly changing. Like, in high school, I was on the swim team, so people would be like butt naked. Also, my best friends and I would just change in front of each other because we just didn't care. But I think that was a time when I realized, like, oh, my boobs actually look really different than yours. Like, growing up, like, in that time, I never thought my boobs felt like a woman's boobs. I was like, looks like a little girl's boobs. Maybe because I am flat-chested. And I think also back then, so when you're kind of exploring, like, pornographic content, and I'm like, I don't look like hers. Like, why does my boobs look different than yours?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just my shape of my boobs, though. I mean, I don't know. Do you guys ever think that way?
Well, I think it's interesting you say that, because I think if you have been growing up with friends and have been seeing each other sort of, like, naked and each other develop, then there is, I could see why there's, like, a seed of comparison that gets planted in your mind. I don't think I've grown up seeing other people's boobs enough to be like, I feel like mine are, I mean, I definitely felt self-conscious that mine were smaller. Like, a part of the reason why I did the padding thing was, one, because I didn't want to pay $50 for a sports bra, but two, also because I was like, I need a little bit of cleavage, or I want a little bit of cleavage, right? But I don't think I ever, like, directly compared myself of, like, your boob is, you know, this size, and mine is, like, not that size, or, like, the color. Like, I never, I don't have a distinct memory of thinking about, like, nipples or anything like that. I don't know if you... Mel, was that something that you thought about?
Like, yeah.
Nipples?
Like, for sure. It's like, oh, your color is darker than mine. And, like, ever... two stories. I think because my best friend, like... I think you're in little curls. You make fun of each other. And she's like, oh, Mel, your boobs are so small. I'm just like, yeah, they are. But I was like, yours are freaking big. So I'm like, what? And then I remember... This is so random. In my 20s, I think we were a little drunk in Vegas. All my girlfriends were like, so what color is your nipple? I don't know how that combo just got brought up. Because all of us have different coloring.
Yeah.
But we're all Asian women. So we're like... Oh, yours more brown. Interesting.
Wait, so you just showed each other your nipples?
I think some of them did, and I was like, I'm not showing mine, dude. Like, I'll tell you the color. I'm not going to show.
Is yours like a light pink?
I am not going to answer this on the pod.
Usually it's a correlation with, like, skin tone, right? So
usually.
Yeah. Wait, is that something that you ever did, Janet? Like, did you compare, like, did you see other people's boobs that were your age?
I think because we were very strategic about changing, I never really saw, like, I would see bras, right? And I would see shapes, but I never really saw, like, what is the anatomical term? The
aioli. No.
That's a sauce.
Aiolis are tasty.
Areola.
Actually, and to your point, Mel, like, I didn't think about different colors or that they look differently because I only knew mine, and then, you know, and and I think the only ones that I saw then were in media. So like, anytime you would flip through a channel or something like that. But because in my mind, I saw that as so distinctly, like, sexualized and different, I never thought to myself, oh, that's how my boobs should look.
Same.
So, yeah. So there was, like, a clear, distinct, like, mental difference between this is a real body and this is my body. And this is, like Hollywood sexualized women body, you know. So what about, we've talked about kind of our first bras and experiences when we were younger. What is your current favorite bra and why?
My current favorite bra is no bra. I love feeling, honestly, I just don't like wearing bras. So I like feeling free. But if I had to choose, I wear a lot of sports bras or camis. And you guys see me wear, like, my sports bras on Zoom meetings. And I'm not even trying to work. I have sports bras and I don't work out. And honestly, it's because I don't really have much to support up there. here, down there, whatever. So
for me, below my neck, above my waist.
Yeah, exactly what she said. So I think for me, a cami or a sports bra works really well because it just feels like enough support, mm-hmm. but not like a wire.
Yeah.
In terms of a brand, recently we tried Third Love and I love it. It's so soft. So if I had to find a formal bra, Third Love fits to the T. Mm-hmm. It's like the material's great. The wiring, you can't feel it that much. So Third Love if I'm wearing like a t-shirt or something. How about you two?
My current favorite bra is one that I'm wearing right now, and it is from Victoria's Secret. It was one that Philip got for me. Ooh. This was back in 2017 for Christmas. He gave me like an underwear makeover because I was clearly still wearing really old underwear. Honestly, I feel like the quality of my underwear has been great, and if it's not broken, if there's no holes in it, why throw it away? You know, like that's my like mentality. So he was kind of just like, you need a makeover, and then he got me like Calvin Klein's and Victoria's Secret's all of these different new underwear. So this one is wireless. There's no wire in it, which is super nice, super soft, but it hugs my body. It's not too tight at all. The back strap is not too high. I feel like that's sometimes an issue. And it's a light pink cream purplish color and very lightly padded. And it feels like a cloud. Oh. It's actually super, super nice. But now this is getting worn down. I feel like the way that I wear my bras, I wear the same ones basically all the time. Which is something, I don't know. Some people think it's gross because if you think about like a shirt, if you wear the same shirt all the time, isn't that the same as wearing the same bra all the time? Shouldn't you be changing it out every day or every other day?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I wash my bra like once a week, but I basically wear the same one all the time.
I think that's
once a week is a pretty good. Yeah. I usually will rotate between like two to three and then wash maybe every 2 weeks. So that's probably about the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your favorite bra, Jay?
My favorite bra, which I'm also wearing right now, I am a fan of t-shirt bras. So no wire.
Mm-hmm.
And I like basic black. This one is actually a DKNY brand that I got from Costco. So, I think that, like, for me, I like simple, I like comfortable. I will say it doesn't support the best. So if I'm going to be wearing, like, a tighter shirt or, like, more formal attire, I won't wear this bra. But in general, every day, it's like, I like t-shirt bras.
Mm-hmm.
Comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, ladies, boobs are one of the most recognized symbols of female sensuality and sexuality. What do your boobs mean to you?
So for me, like, I don't know the right word to describe what my boobs mean to me, but I will say that I don't know if you ladies feel this way, but for example, my period's coming, I can tell mostly due to the change in my boobs, whether it's hard, whether it's sensitive. So my boobs is like my first indicator that my period's coming. So in a lot of ways, it's like my sensor to like what's about to happen.
How would you describe that?
That's right.
Boob button. No, that makes sense. It's like a gauge for kind of if there's other things in your body are going to be changing or what's off, or like, can you tell your mood from your boobs?
It's more like, for example, this sounds maybe TMI, but when I'm showering, can you not use hot, you should have a hot shower.
Yeah.
Usually when you're warm, your nipples get like softer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There are moments when I'm in the hot shower, I'm just like, why is it so hard?
And like, are you turned on?
No, not at all. And then literally I would press my boob like a button to see if it changes. And it doesn't. So I'm just like, okay, so I know my period's coming. And then I know I'm about to PMS. So it kind of like helps me gauge my mood too. Like, okay, be careful.
Wait, so your nipples are usually hard when your period's about to come?
Yep.
Oh,
I didn't know about that correlation.
For me, That's why I'm like, oh, I didn't notice. Like, I was like, why is it so pointy? When it like, literally I'm like in freaking hot ass water. So I'm like, okay. It helps me. For me, it helps me gauge when my period's coming.
Do you have a name for your boob?
No. I don't name her. She's a her, though.
If you were to name her, would it be Mel and then Odie?
Hell no. I would not name my boob Odie. I don't look at my boobs a lot, to be honest. I just, like, it's like, if I'm in the shower, it's there. But I'm not, like, I don't ever, like, go to the mirror and be like, ooh. Like, I'm like, all right, whatever. But how about you, ladies? What do your boobs mean to you?
So for me, I actually, like I shared when I was younger, I had a very, like, I really did not like developing boobs. And I was always just like, oh, these are so annoying. I don't like to have to cover them. I think as I got older, I developed a very kind of just like neutral relationship with them. I still am not someone who likes to show off my boobs or like show cleavage. I'm still very like, I guess, like, naturally modest about that. Like, a little bit self-conscious, a little bit modest. But at least it's, like, I don't, like, hate them. And I'm not, like, embarrassed by them. But I kind of just, like, coexist with them. But now that I'm, like, 35 and I'm thinking about future and children, like, my boobs do take on a little bit of a different meaning. Because I think about how, like, someday I would like to have children. I would like to breastfeed. And that, like being able to view them that way feels different. Mm-hmm. Like now I'm starting to appreciate them more and having a more positive relationship with them, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would completely agree. I think it's kind of like my period. I think boobs are something you learn to appreciate over mm-hmm. time. Like I hated getting my period. I didn't like my smaller boobs, but now I've definitely learned to, you know, love my body and also love the function of these parts of your bodies. Both your period and your boob sort of allow you to have a baby and allow you to mm-hmm. feed your baby. And if you think about it from like a motherhood perspective, that is very freaking cool. But I think it takes time for you to develop this love and appreciation for your body, even if it, you know, if it doesn't look like the ones that you see on the models mm-hmm. and you're like, why is it not as like round or mm-hmm. as like perky or whatever? It's like, well, these are your boobs, and there is something about the uniqueness of every type of boob that you've seen. It's like every person's boob is so unique, which is so cool if yeah. you think about it, you know? It's very tailored to like your body. Mm-hmm. No two boobs, I feel like, are the same unless you get it surgically inserted. But, yeah. like, it's so cool to think about how I think it really is like a unique factor, and it's something that should be celebrated.
Mm. It's like a fingerprint, right? It is unique to everyone.
Yeah. But maybe it's like a part of your body that is maybe more unique than like your hands, mm. you know, or your arm or your legs. Like the boob is usually just, there's more characteristics to it.
Mm-hmm. Working from home more often this past year has meant that I've gotten a little lazier with some of my morning prep things. Like I tend to stay in PJs all day, I don't really do my makeup, and I forgo things like deodorant. But something I've realized recently is that implementing these rituals actually really helps set a strong foundation for my day. When I dress up for myself and I smell good for myself, I'm in a better and more energetic mood. So in my bathroom, you'll find Native, an aluminum-free deodorant with ingredients I've actually heard of like coconut oil and shea butter. I'm a fan of their lavender and rose scent, but they have a bunch you can choose from like eucalyptus and mint, coconut and vanilla, citrus and herbal musk, and more. Over 10 scents, including their classics and rotating seasonals. They also do not test their products on animals, and almost everything is vegan. Make the switch to Native today by going to nativedeo.com/ABG or use promo code ABG at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo.com/ABG or use promo code ABG at checkout for 20% off your first order.
Periods. Oh, periods. We gotta start normalizing discussion around periods even more, ladies and gents out there. And for the beautiful ladies tuning in, if you want a period product that looks out for your body, your lifestyle, and the planet, you've got to try Flex. I recently switched over from tampons and panty liners to the Flex Cup, a reusable cup made with a velvety soft material for a comfortable fit in your vajayjay. And it is awesome. Like, I'm surprised I haven't been using a Flex Cup for a longer period of my life. I'll admit that the first time you try it out, it's like you're a teenager exploring your body again. But trust me, Flex's products are worth the learning curve. And Flex has videos, diagrams, FAQs, and even live chat Flexperts on their website to help you along the way. Flex is innovating period care with products that are body safe, made for comfort, and made to keep you moving. And along with the Flex Cup, they have the Flex Disc, which is a one-time use menstrual disc that fits perfectly inside your body. Plus, they're completely body safe and non-toxic. So say goodbye to leaks, mess, and stress, and say hello to healthier periods for people and the planet with Flex. Go to flexfits.com and use code ABG for 20% off your Flex Disc starter kits or 10% off your first Flex Cup, plus free U.S. shipping. That's code ABG at Flex, FlexFitz.com.
We know that some of our listeners are small business owners and creative entrepreneurs. Whether it's your full-time focus or a side project, in today's digitally driven world, it's important to pay attention to your online presence and make your business stand out from the rest. Issue is an all-in-one platform to create and distribute beautiful digital content, from marketing materials to magazines to flipbooks and brochures and more. PDFs are outdated. Issue makes content better and works seamlessly with tools you already use, like Canva, Dropbox, and InDesign. Make it once and distribute it everywhere, without reformatting. Your content is already optimized for engagement and ready to share. Get started with Issue today for free, or if you sign up for a premium account, you'll get 50% off when you go to issue.com/podcast and use promo code ABG. That's I-S-S-U-U
bluechew.com/podcast and use promo code ABG at checkout for your free account or 50% off your premium account. That's issue.com/podcast with promo code ABG.
Well, besides boobs, what part of your body do you think is the most sensual or feminine?
I would actually kind of like, because of the way that I describe my relationship with boobs, I think even though, you know, how for a lot of women, it is something that they love to showcase and they associate with like sexuality and sensuality. I don't really have that relationship with my boobs. I like, if I were to think about what makes me feel sexy and sensual, it's like probably like my collarbone area.
I was in the same thing.
Upper body, upper chest. Yes, Mel, you said you would say the same thing.
Yeah, I would say clavicles.
Oh my gosh.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, there's something really feminine about the, like, the collarbone and clavicles. Maybe also for me, like, this is, like, really random, but my face is round. So people have the perception of a little bit more rounder in the body. But I think something about clavicles just makes it pop more. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
The second part I really do, I'm learning to embrace more, is the curvature of the back or the shape of my body from my hips to my thighs. Like that little, pear shape. I think growing up, I didn't like feeling. I'm a little actually curvy in that area, like my mom. But I'm just like, ugh. But now I'm just like, there's something really sexy and feminine about just the lines. So I appreciate those parts now.
Yeah, I was gonna say exactly the clavicles. That's so interesting that we all three are saying the clavicles and like shoulders. I feel like a friendly face is also very like nice and feminine. But I always talk to Philip, I mean, we don't always talk about this, but I think we're both like butt over boobs people, because there is something about the butt that is, if you have like a really nice butt, that means that you also work hard for your butt. Like there's like a muscular booty is much like nicer than just like a flabby booty versus your boobs. You can't like work out unless you get it surgically, you know, done. But there's something about a butt that's like a muscle booty is like dope.
Yeah, it's like reflective of your efforts and stuff too.
And how you take care of yourself and stuff. Clavicles and butt and curvature of your lower back.
The lower back is I think that's why also, like, for example, for me, when a guy touches you on the lower back versus gives me a hug, there's something about that little small gesture. I'm just like, ooh, it's kind of nice, you know? There's, like, an intimacy about it. And it's just, like, a hand on my lower back. It's not even my ass. It's just, like, on my lower back.
It's, like, close.
Yes. But it's not there, you know what I'm saying? Well, if you guys, if you ladies can change anything about your boobs, what would it be and why?
So, as I said before, I used to really dislike having boobs, and I found them to be a nuisance. I think that when I was younger, I really fought my femininity a lot because, like, there was this idea, maybe some of the personality trait and the cultural expectation of being obedient, and also seeing in media the way that they like feminized women and the way that women were treated, I really did not like sometimes receiving attention from men in any way, right? And so because of that, I really leaned, I think, into the opposite direction of really adopting a neutral style. I wasn't quite like tomboyish or androgynous per se, but anything that was like sexy or hot or revered, I really kind of like pushed the other way. But now that I'm kind of older, I feel like I've developed a greater sense of confidence in my identity as a woman, and I feel more okay with like owning that femininity. So I guess today, like, there's not, I wouldn't change anything about my boobs. I used to want them to be smaller, but now I'm like fine with accepting them the way that they are. And yeah, I think, I mean, I heard that after you get pregnant and have babies, sometimes they go up a size or like they get a little bit larger. So I guess we'll cross that path when it comes, if it comes.
Well, I'm going to get massive, and I'm like, I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see what it looks like then, you know? I wonder if the color of the nipple will change.
Oh. They get darker.
Do they really?
Oh, really?
The kids could find them?
Yeah. Where did I hear this from? No, it's funny. This is from Friends, I think, but it gets darker because like, even the kids could just find it quicker.
Easier to...
I could be completely wrong, so don't quote me on this, but that's what I heard.
Interesting.
How about you, ladies?
Same. I think I definitely wanted to change them when I was younger, but I've grown a lot since those days when I sewed in cups into my sports bras and those hard Chinese bra cups. I think I've become very happy with what I have. Also, there are so many types of clothing now that can make you look good without having to focus on your cleavage. Like, boobs are not the only thing that represents sexiness, like we were just saying. But I feel like when we were younger, that was sort of like the symbol of a sexy woman. So it's nice to see that times have changed. Like, now if you feel sexy about your legs, like, you can show off your legs and cover up your top. If you have nice shoulders, show those off instead. Like, find the parts of your body that you feel good about and show that off. And I think Honestly, confidence is like the sexiest thing about a woman and a man. Yeah. Confidence is freaking sexy. And also I know that for me, if I want my boobs to look bigger, I can get a push-up bra, or, you know, normally they would just chill out and not have that much cleavage, and that's completely okay too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do appreciate my boobs and I would not change anything about them. How about for email?
So like you both, I used to play with the idea of going up, like, I actually was thinking about like playing with the idea of like going up half a size. Cause I don't think I used to like try on like big ass bras, like big cushion bras, and mm-hmm. they look so awkward on my body. I don't think it's the right proportion. But to be honest, I wouldn't change a thing. I feel like as I've gotten older, I learned to really embrace them and not feel insecure about the size. And you know, I think like you mentioned how like with our society kind of moving to like more like appreciation of the butt area mm-hmm. and you know the freeing of the tits, I feel like I'm able to confidently actually wear plunging tops without feeling mm-hmm. insecure about my size and my boobs.
Yeah.
Like before, I'm just like, oh, I don't feel it up, and now I'm just like, nah, like. I feel good in it, and even though my boobs are small, it is what it is. Like, you'll see my clavicles or something. So mm-hmm. when I feel the most confident, it's actually when I wear something plunging and I feel really good about it, because I'm just like I don't let my previous insecurities of my boobs get in the way of me wanting to rock a style that I really want. Mm-hmm. So I think also goes hand in hand with like being confident in like what mm-hmm. you have now.
So there's a pretty common stereotype that Asian women have small boobs. Have you heard of this stereotype, and like, what are your thoughts on it?
So I don't know if this is completely true. I know a lot of friends, like my best friend has, like, she's a full C, or, and also my aunt is like a double D. Like she's, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Oh, my aunt's like a double D too.
Yeah, well, I don't know what
like,
it is.
Like, I remember when I saw her bras hanging once and I put it on my head. So I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it's so big. Really big. But I will say, even with them in my group of friends, average, and I have a lot of Asian friends, they're Asian females, average boob size or cup size is like probably an A, like they're like an A or a B. I don't know any girls in my friend group that's probably a C or above. And I don't know if that's like, I don't know if that's like an indication mm-hmm. of the general population, but within my friend group, that's what I noticed. Is it different for you?
Interesting. I actually, from personal observation, like I could not conclude that this is a true stereotype from my friends. If I look at like my Asian female friends, and a lot of them actually are quite short too, so it's like a frame, like they're like 5'2", but they have like B's and C's. Okay. So I don't know if like, yeah, from personal observation, I haven't found this to be true. And then when I was like looking around online, I was like Googling this, like, oh, is there any like support that, you know, Asian women have like smaller boobs on average? And there really weren't any conclusive findings to support that statement. Mm-hmm. Most of the things that you'll find are like anecdotes or personal experiences, which isn't like formal research, right? And usually it's like breast size is linked more strongly with like height, diet, weight, genetics, that kind of stuff, versus like you can't really link it to a race. So you're hearing it here on the Asian Boss Girl podcast that we're dispelling the myth. I don't know if anyone else has other research that they found to support otherwise, but it's an interesting topic to touch upon.
For sure. Now, I definitely remember in high school, like one of my best friends, we were young, we were like ninth grade, and she had watermelon sized boobs, and everyone called her like, I'm not going to say her name because I think she listens to this podcast, but she had watermelons, you know, and then her sister had melons. Like, they had big boobs. And I think the generalization is that Asian women are seen as more petite. So then by default, they would have smaller boobs proportionally to their body. But I really don't like that generalization that Asian women are smaller, because I think that's already, it fucks with a lot of people who aren't. So let's dispel that as well. Like, I think it depends on your genetics. I think it depends on just, you know, every person is unique and different, and you can't say all Asian women have small boobs, because that is not accurate. Mm-hmm. All right, let's end on this question. If we were each a type of bra, what type of bra would that be and why?
All right, so I have Helen's description and Janet's description down. I'll go first. Helen, you'd be a sports bra. No shit. I said because you're athletic, you're flexible, and you shapeshift.
So
it's kind of like, it's I think, similar to a sports bra. Also because you wear it a lot, too. Janet actually put classic wire bra because you're a classic person. Like, I think when I think of Janet, she's like timeless. And timeless and supportive. She needs that wiring. Even though it's uncomfortable, you need that wiring to help support you.
Okay. I do like this because it's not like what would she actually wear?
Yeah.
Because she would actually, I would say Janet would wear a sports bra or a t-shirt bra. Yeah, but I like the, she would be supportive.
If you were bra personified.
And I feel like when I think of a wire bra, it's structured. And I feel like you're a very structured person, even though you do go with the flow. There's something about you that's really reliable and structured.
Interesting. Wow, Mel, you're really good at that question.
Honestly, I read this question as what bra would you wear? And I was like, a sports bra, lightly padded, comfortable, but sexy. So on the spot, I would say, I'm going to say same answer for Jay. And for Mel, I feel like she would be like a, okay, she would be like a decorative, like sexy, lacy bra that showed cleavage, wasn't too padded, like lightly padded, but showed off her, her clap goes. It could even be like a halter bra or something like just super sexy, and like proud.
Yeah, my answer actually for Mel was, I don't know why I envisioned this, because you don't wear red that often, but I imagine like a red lacy bra for you. Oh. And not a classic cut, something that would be like kind of haltery or something.
Yeah.
Slightly, yeah, decorative and a little bit sassy.
Yeah.
For Helen, I think sports bras seem like it would be obvious, but I felt like for you, it would be almost more like a t-shirt bra. And I imagined it would be like a mauve color. Oh, so kind of like a purple, but like a more reddish, like a pinkish purple tone.
Yeah.
And also so I could see like the material or the texture being not lace, but you know how sometimes there's stuff mesh. With a little bit of mesh and a little bit shiny too, like a little sparkle to it. Sometimes you see it in like wedding dresses that it's like that. Yeah. Like, so something like soft and a little bit of like glimmer.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Those would be my answers.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was like, you're a sports bro.
I definitely didn't read this question right.
Well, that concludes this episode talking about our boobies and, you know, just walking through our awkward phases, you know, with development of the chest area. If you guys enjoyed this episode, please comment down on our latest Instagram post. What was your first training bra? You know, we're very curious. Obviously, all three of us have very different variations, from Helen's very hard Asian bras to maybe a small sports bra from Target. So just let us know in the comments below if you're comfortable.
Yes. And to wrap up today's episode, we have a couple of shout outs. From San Francisco, Jared wishes a happy birthday to Johnny, whose birthday was March 1st. From Harry DeVivian in Orange County, you are the best girlfriend. Happy 2 years. From Los Angeles, Joy wants to congratulate Brianna for starting her own strip lash business, LA Lash Addict. Jade from Toronto wants to send a shout out to Jen, Rebecca, Cindy, and Shirley for chasing their dreams and highlighting millennial day-to-day challenges in their new podcast, TBD.pod. To Catherine from Elizabeth in Illinois, happy birthday, sissy. Thanks for being the best ABG. Love you.
And if you'd like to send a friend or loved one a shout out, check out the link tree in our Instagram bio for details.
You can find us on all the podcasting platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Subscribe and leave us a rating and review at Asian Boss Girl. And if you'd like to support us through monthly donations, you can do so at anchor.fm/AsianBossGirl/support. We're also very active on social. Our handle is @AsianBossGirl. If you enjoyed the episode today, screen cap the podcast, tag us, and we may reshare on our IG story.
You can also find us on YouTube, handle @AsianBossGirl, and you will find Dear ABGs or vlogs that we will upload every Sunday. It's basically like our second podcast, but now you can put a face to our voices. So make sure you subscribe to our channel, again, Asian Boss Girl. You can also check out our latest collection of merch at asianbossgirl.myshopify.com. And thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all her magic on our episodes, including this one.
Thank you all again for joining us today, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Bye.
Thanks again for joining us for another fun episode of ABG. Before you go, we wanted to remind you about our live podcast show that will be happening every week on the Stereo app. Last week, we talked about how we celebrated my recent 30th birthday to the funny moments in our intern meetings. Stereo is app for live social conversations. We want to talk directly with you, our listeners. For a link to the show, check out our Instagram @AsianBossGirls, link in bio, and click the link that says weekly live show on Stereo. Again, that's instagram.com/AsianBossGirl, and click on our link tree to grab the link right after this episode. See y'all there. We'll be right back.